Well, everyone, our affirmative action policies have kicked in, and it's time for our quarterly female guest. Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you are, we have the very wonderful Nikki Glaser on the show today. Nikki, please, come on in.
Woo!
There it is. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Live audience. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Live
audience. Nice to be here. This sofa's made for a man.
It kind of is, actually. I don't even know what that meant when I said it. But I just went to the bathroom. You guys have tampons in there?
No, yeah.
You don't. You had a scale, though.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Yeah.
And you made me clock in my weight.
Yeah.
It felt rude.
Well, it just lets us know, you know.
I actually did that joke on Barstool once, because you know that's like a, you know, everyone, what everyone says about that is it's true. I said that, I go, you guys have a scale, and I got to say it here. I'm ruining it now because you guys thought that was original in the moment, but
no, it's fine.
It was a recycled joke that they took out because they were like, we don't want you to joke. I'm like, you got to make fun of the fact.
Oh yeah, come on.
That what you are. Like, you guys are making fun of it. Am I, you're not
wait,
your
wait,
first.
So they actually had a scale in the bathroom?
No.
Yeah, no, they weigh all the girls and then
yeah,
the ones that
like you can't joke about it because it's true.
Yeah.
Right? And that is like the problem with it is that you believed it.
Yeah.
Like it's so something that could happen there that, you
know. It's like an MMA weigh-in, you know? If the girls are overweight, they make them get naked. They put the towel in front.
Yeah.
They got the
yeah.
commissioner out
yeah, yeah.
there.
Face to face.
Yeah.
And you got to, yeah, cut weight.
Yeah.
Man, wrestling, you guys are into that, right?
Yeah.
Cutting weight. Have you ever, did you wrestle in like high school or anything like that?
No. I just like watching guys beat the shit out of each other.
It's tough though. They all have eating disorders after it.
Yeah.
Like they all have like, I grew up with eating disorders and like, whenever I meet a wrestler, I'm like, we've been through the same thing.
Yeah.
Like they all have like teenage girl eating disorders.
Wait.
Because of cutting weight?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
they've all
intense.
And being obsessed with every little pound and every,
yeah.
you know, because it's got kind of the same thing as like being a teenage girl with it, but trying to obsess over like if I get to this number, it'll be I'll qualify for this
yeah.
group of girls to yeah. hang out with or whatever it is.
Damn, that's
but
crazy.
On to lighter stuff.
To answer your
racism.
Question, yeah, 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 yeah. No, we could do that. We could definitely. Yeah, what do you think I am?
Oh, really?
Be racist for a second.
Can I?
Yeah.
I mean, you asked me to. Okay.
Yeah.
Cambodian?
Wow.
Like that's, half?
That's the most advanced answer I've received in a long
really?
Time.
Really?
I will tell you
kinda...
that is... I actually don't know. He's never told me his race. So I'm actually not sure if that's
yeah.
right or not.
Yeah.
You guys haven't been sponsored by 23andMe yet and shared
no.
your results?
No,
no,
I'm
that's
waiting.
What we're waiting for.
I'm waiting.
We're holding out for that.
I'm waiting.
Exactly. What are you?
I don't... It's a fun meme. We don't really say.
He's never said.
Oh, you've never said.
No.
But I was not right.
No.
We can eliminate Cambodia.
Or were you right?
Or were you?
Oh, well, this makes it so it's not racist
yeah.
because
yes.
I could have been exactly dead on.
Yeah.
I can tell I wasn't, though.
What am I?
Irish.
No.
Canadian.
Yes.
No, he's rich. He's very rich. He's very rich.
Oh, I very rich.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Let's get that
he
right.
He doesn't shy away from that at all.
What's up, guys? This is the TMG Podcast. This is today's free episode. If you want this episode ad-free and extra bonus episode, you can find that right now on our website, TMGstudios.tv. Sign up for a membership now at TMGstudios.tv. And if not, then enjoy this one.
The mystery of the flying saucers may soon be solved.
If you've never smoked weed at literal Woodstock, you're not a stoner. Goodbye.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
I'm gay as fuck.
I'm trying to get my arse eaten.
The so-called flying saucers.
Look at all these fucking chickens.
Malone Brown, you hear this hole? No. Malone Brown dick in your mouth?
Please look at all the signs, fasten your seatbelt, and get ready for debate.
You know this guy wore Dior last week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, are you new rich? Or were you, did
no,
you grow
no,
up
they
kind
sent
of
it.
Rich?
I didn't buy it.
See, they sent
well,
it to him.
Well,
then that's
even
more rich.
That's
not, yeah. no way. How is that rich?
That's, I mean, well, when you don't have to buy it, that's the paradox.
I had
like
to give
when
it back.
You get rich enough to afford or famous enough to afford things, you don't have to buy anything anymore.
Yeah, yeah. But I had to give it back. I didn't get to keep it.
Wait, you had to give it back?
Yes, that's what they do. They send it so that you wear it on whatever you're going to do, and then you have to give
right.
it back the next morning. They send a messenger.
Oh.
Like,
Well, that's
you had fun cosplaying as someone cool. Now give that shit.
Did you have stylists set this up?
Yeah.
Okay, because I have stylists too, but you pay them.
I paid the stylists.
And that's what happens to me too. I get you pay thousands of dollars, which is worth it because they know what they're doing and I don't know what I'm doing. But then you have to give the outfit back and no one knows that.
Well, they,
you don't get to keep any of it.
Originally, he got a suit from Balenciaga, but they found out he was too old. So they...
I was in my head trying to figure out that meme of like all the equations was happening in my head right now, trying to make that joke.
Yeah, so they sent it to me instead.
Yeah.
And they're
two
like, oh, no, he made the suit.
Cody is really funny.
You say what?
Two stand-ups against Cody. Is
yeah,
funny.
This is really good.
Yeah.
Well, Cody, you don't do stand-up?
No.
I mean, I do it, but I hesitate to give myself the seal of approval.
Why?
I didn't come out through the club, so I feel
Who
like...
Who cares?
I don't know, man.
No, you're in. You're okay, in. Like, there's no initiation. I feel like people
Schultz
get
said
so...
the same thing.
Right. And when Schultz isn't a comedian either, so he...
Andrew, she said it, not me.
No, he's not watching this. So...
I know. I have texts that prove otherwise.
No, he's definitely watching. No, Schultz is...
Well,
Schultz
we said his
legit.
Name, so he's definitely watching now.
Yeah, he has some algorithm that finds his name.
His ears right now.
He's often sent things about like the Peanuts characters because the guy that wrote it was Schultz. Okay, got so that's a deep cut. But no, he's right. Schultz is right. Is that, it doesn't matter. I think there's so much snobbery with stand-ups. And like, even when I was coming up with stand-up, I felt like I couldn't call myself a stand-up until I got on Last Comic Standing. Because then it was like, okay, you can't be on the show until you're a comic. There's all these, and then if you take a comedy class, you're not really a comedian. Mm-hmm. Or like you didn't start in clubs. How did you start?
I mean, I grinded open mics for like 3 years, so I guess it's like pretty much the same thing.
That's it, dude. Yeah, and I don't know. People ask me how to start now. You go on Instagram Live and perform for two people. You go on however you want to start, like putting it out there, performing, getting in front of people, whether it's you alone in your room. I don't care at all. I don't know, but people are so snobby because club comics are poor and they're jealous of you guys who are making lots of money doing it other ways. And so they like to go, there's this, you can never get in our club.
Right,
but
right.
I'm sure, so how long you been doing it?
Well, I did it for like 2-3 years before.
You can't call yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind everything you just said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
you
that
can call
count.
Yourself it after like, I would say like 5 times doing it. You can be like, I'm a comic.
Yeah. Then we toured together for a year and then...
So I've been on stage, like I've done.
Yes,
we've done like
clearly
a lot of shows together. But I wouldn't call myself a comedian, legitimate, like because I just
like stand up because you.
Yeah, because I've never like performed alone. I have, but
insane.
Like for open mics and shit, not like actually.
Mm. Wait, you've done open mics though?
Yeah.
And done stand up on open mics.
I dragged him to his first open mic. It was great.
Were you addicted to it though? Like, did you?
No, I didn't get. I didn't get that.
Yeah.
I was just scared of it the whole time. Even when we toured, I was scared every single time before we went out. I was shitting my pants.
Yeah.
And then I would have this crazy like adrenaline like nerve crash like afterwards, and it was just like this cycle of like
yes.
I just didn't enjoy it. You know.
I've still been on the road for the last like year and change, but it'd be really funny when we had our first. So we went to St. Louis.
Yeah.
And we have this like fucking. Scar of a show where it was like a St. Louis crowd, so they were just fucking jabbering the whole time.
Drunk, yeah. Not really knowing how to behave.
Well, they were just.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
And then.
Where was it?
What's
pageant?
That?
Multi-level.
Pageant.
The pageant?
I think so, yeah.
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 That's a good venue. Good job,
yeah,
guys.
Thank you. But so it was a lot of crowd work and like trying to shut the crowd down. Mm. And then at some point, Cody just like kind of just looked over. He's like, all right, go at it. And we got into the green room afterward, and he's like, I know how the fuck you deal with that, man. That was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you lose control of them and when they aren't listening and you feel, or you just.
That shuts me down.
I
can't like.
Yeah, sure. That's a normal reaction.
And you're like, oh no, fuck, it's war now.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I burned them all down.
But you won them over, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that makes you feel good. But like, you know, we all watch that Bill Burr clip of him in Philly.
Yeah,
have
yeah.
you ever seen that? Of like,
of course,
where he's
yeah.
doing the countdown.
So yeah.
And that's like what we all dream of having that moment of just like, fuck all of you and just going off. But last night, actually, I was at the Laugh Factory and a guy went up before me and some heckler just. The guy was doing well too. Everyone liked him. And then some heckler was just like, you don't make as much money as me. Like, you don't get girls like I do. Like, just wasn't even listening to the guy, but then just came at him. And this was a nice guy on stage. And And I had never seen a comic do this, but he pulled the classic hack joke out of like, man, I don't come to your work and knock the dicks out of your mouth. And I'd never heard, I thought that was just a thing that, it was a thing we all agreed we don't say, but like.
I've heard that before, but it hit Jess's heart.
It's funny. It worked. And I go, oh, I should, you know, there's stock lines that get you out of it. But the funny part was, is that he recovered and he looked like, from the outside, you could not tell that he was shaken by it at all. But he immediately, after this interaction and kind of like going like, it didn't really work. And he was just kind of like, okay, I'm from Iran. And like he gets back into his act and then he takes off his jean jacket immediately because he starts overheating. Like I've been there before
too. Guy.
You get this surge of adrenaline that makes you overheat. Yeah. So you start flop sweat thing. And it's like, but he looks so cool and comfortable on the outside. And I've been that way before too. You know, like even when, that's the weird thing about stand-up that I don't like is I don't like when it's performative, when you're like freaking out in your head and you're having to say something other than what you're thinking. And I think the best stand-up is when you're able to let loose and just say exactly what you mean in the moment. Yeah. I hate those awkward moments of like, you say something weird to someone and they're like, I remember one time a woman like, I thought she raised her hand to ask a question, but she just had like cerebral palsy. And I was just like, man, and then I was just like, oh, and like, what do you do? Like,
Oh my God.
The flop sweat, I'm like taking off the tiny tank top I have. Like, I just anything to get me out of this. And then
just get it naked on stage to change the vibe.
It was just so awkward. And like, there's just nowhere for you. I at that point, I'm drowning in my thoughts of I'm a bad person. I'm going to get canceled. I hurt this person's feelings. And you can't think clearly in that moment, but I'd like to try in those times. My goal is always to like, if a joke bombs or something, I say something awkward, is just stop and say like, what is true? Like, what's true? That's going to get me out of it. Acknowledge the elephant in the room, which is like, well, this woman has, I think, cerebral palsy? What, can you tell me what happened? And like, and one time it did happen, I got into something where I was talking about people in wheelchairs. I had a joke and this woman again raised like was like heckled me and I go, what's going on? And I asked her, I think my joke was like, it's funny that you see a dog with wheels for legs and you're like, oh my God, look at you. What happened to this widow puppy? But you can't do that with people in a wheelchair. You can't be like, oh my God, what happened to you?
Yeah.
But it's like, why not? Why can't you say that? Because it's clear that they're, you know, disabled.
Did you get hit by a car?
Yeah. Oh, why didn't they just put you down?
Yeah. You went to IWAC. Oh.
But it turns out, I don't want to speak for disabled people because I can't. But I do think that they want, it is weird that we just like see a person in a wheelchair and we have to be like, nothing's different. And just like, and we like look above them like, you're up here. I'm not even going to look down because I don't want to acknowledge the thing that's, so I think that sometimes she even said, and she was like, I love when people ask me, I'm like, so if I saw you at the grocery store, I could just straight up go like, what happened to you? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, then what happened to you? And she's like, I fell off a motorcycle. And I was like, oh shit. And then she was like, my friend's
did
motorcycle.
You?
I do will
motorcycle.
Oh, are you a rescue? and I go, she goes, my boyfriend was driving. And I was like, like I didn't want to ask, but she was like, he was just getting drinks for them. Oh. She pointed up and I was like, oh, okay, good.
God bless his soul.
Oh my God.
I know. Another time I asked a woman, I was talking about tattoos or something and I go, who has tattoos here? And this woman raises her hand and I go, what's yours? And she said, it's my baby's footprints or whatever. And I go, oh, how old? And she was like, he's gone. And I'm like, why would you bring this up? Where do I go with that? I mean, God love you for bringing it up.
I swallowed some as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
If I was a girl, that's me as a girl comedian.
Nice, dude. Nice.
I eat kids too. Sorry.
It Come on, dude.
So, I'm sorry.
But you've bombed before, right?
Yeah.
You've bombed like that last line.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah, exactly. Just like that. Yeah.
I've had a couple stinkers already. Like you just like have this surge goes through you of like, it's so shameful because it is such a risk to say something that might not be funny. And then
it's awful. That vibe when the room just sucks out and then
they can sense it, right?
Yeah, they can sense it. Yeah.
You said that you didn't notice that he was bombing. The guy that was getting heckled or whatever.
Well,
you didn't notice his like energy change.
I could tell the audience did it. I knew because I just knew like, this was so, like, I knew he was freaking out because he's a nice guy and you could tell he doesn't have these interact. He's not like going after the crowd.
Yeah,
because
some comics are like that. Like, they just don't. They don't fuck with the crowd.
I don't
like
fuck
that.
With the crowd at all.
Oh, really?
At all. And people always
unless
go to
they're disabled.
Yeah, unless they're asking for it by being in a fucking wheelchair. No.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I say. No, that's good. Guys, by the way, Nikki's on tour. And there's ADA access, so you're more than welcome
it's
to pull up.
It's all handicapped access. That's all I want. My shows are all crowd work.
Yeah. Well, she does them in music venues, but they're still seated shows.
Sitting room only.
Yeah. As long as you bring your own.
I never get a standing ovation, but it doesn't hurt my feelings because they can't. Oh, I hope people have a good sense of humor that are listening to this and are
nah,
disabled.
Dude, it's over, man. It was nice.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. This is a good way to go out. This is, I'm on top. Yeah. But I, it's just, but I don't interact with the crowd. And people think that I will because I've done roasts and all this stuff. I can, but I just have like goals up there in terms of like, I want to get through my material. I have something to say. And the risk factor is too high of like not being funny when you're fucking with the crowd.
Yeah.
It, at least in my head it is. But it actually, now that with the proliferation of crowd work videos on Instagram, I realize these motherfuckers laugh at anything you do in the crowd will get people to laugh. The bar is so low because audiences know that when you're doing your act, like this is a polished thing. Like present something to us that is like, the bar is high. You've worked on this. Most audiences know that you're not riffing up there. Yeah. But when you go in the crowd, there's no way unless you planted someone that you figured out what to do. And so people are just so amazed by any kind of wit that goes on there. So you can just go, look at this guy's shirt. And people are like, oh my fucking God. Yeah. Like, and it's of the moment. So, and I love crowd work too. I used to love it when I would go see stand up. So, I'm challenging myself to do it more, but it doesn't happen. How do you get into it?
It really depends. Sometimes I'll like kill the energy a little bit on purpose just so I can like talk to somebody.
That seems insane to me. So you'll have momentum and you'll go, I'm going to choose just to, because you enjoy discomfort a little bit.
Yeah,
maybe?
I do. Yeah.
And it probably creates a place for you where you're like, that's where you get motivated. Are you like a last minute type person? Like you get shit done under the gun?
Yeah, yeah. I definitely like the pressure.
Yeah.
I like when it's awkward.
That'll bring it. Yeah. Just talking to someone. I just generally feel... Can you just tell, because you've done crowd work probably more than me, even though I've been doing stand-up like 18 times as long as you. Like, I've been doing it 20 years, but I don't go in the crowd at all. So
that's
I'm asking,
crazy.
Like, do you just, like, look at a guy that, like, might want it? Because because some people do not want it at all.
I don't know. I have a weird...
Isn't that funnier?
Yeah, but you know what? These people pay money to see you, and then you're going to make them weird. Like, I feel bad.
Well, there's two funny ones. One guy was, like, a fucking... This was like the most awkward one. He was like a cop or some shit. And I made a joke about police. And then I looked at him. I'm like, you're a cop, man? And he didn't say shit. He just stared back at me. And I was like, cool. And the whole room was like, move it. And I was like, what's your name? Nothing. I was like, all right. I was like, you gonna shoot me later? What's up?
Okay. Yeah. See, that's great.
Yeah. But I just like kept hammering it. So there's definitely people who just don't. Respond. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you see the clip of Akash, right?
Yeah. Akash,
Akash. Yeah.
He's funny.
His clip of
the British guy.
Yeah, the guy in the front row that was doing that same sort of thing.
Wait,
like
really?
probably one of the worst people to do crowd work with, and this guy was just like a total dick on his phone, rolling his eyes.
Oh, I remember this. And he was like kind of a hipstery looking guy.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, wait, I'm so sorry.
He was so cool. I hated that guy.
Sorry, I need to fucking... now that you brought up the wheelchair and the cerebral palsy thing, I have to
please get back to that.
This dude's been opening for me, a guy named Tyler Walsh. Super interesting guy. Used to be a rodeo clown and then got into stand-up. Yeah, love this guy to death. I took him to San Jose. It was the first time he saw the ocean. So he's like from rural Nebraska. Yeah. There's certain things he hasn't encountered.
How did you even meet this guy?
The Omaha Funny Bone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I love Colleen there.
Colleen. Yeah. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
You know it.
Totally.
Yeah.
She's a sweetie.
She is a big sweetie, actually.
She is.
No, she's the best. No, but so he came with me to Salt Lake City and... There was a girl in the front row, and he starts doing a set, and then she just goes, bitch. And then he goes, the fuck did you say to me? And he kind of gets a little aggressive. And then she kind of says a little bit more, and he can't quite figure out what's going on. And then her friend next to her goes, she has Tourette's. And he's like, oh.
Oh, no.
So he like kind of shuts down. He like brings it back. He comes back into the green room. He's like, I'm so sorry, man. I hope I didn't ruin the show. I'm from rural Nebraska. I met a liberal for the first time this year. I never met someone with Tourette's. I was like, dying.
As if Tourette's is like kind of like.
We don't have that in the Midwest. Yeah.
I was like, Tyler, go out on this second show and say that shit. That's the funniest fucking thing you said all day. But yeah. So
yeah, Tourette's is one that'll get. I was like at a place where you just go up to the front and order your bowl or whatever. And this, I was like, I'll take, you know, the keto bowl with, and she was like, bitch, motherfucker, bitch, bitch. And I was just like, oh my, and but it seemed like it was like, she was mad
sorry,
at me.
I'm sorry, okay, I'll yeah. get the grain bowl then.
And she goes, I have Tourette's. And I was like, I am the best person for you to have Tourette's. Like, I was like, this is awesome. Yeah, I was like, I don't care at all, but this poor girl must deal with that all day long. Yeah. Like, it sucks. Like, I feel like, those kinds of, I love when people have something that makes them like something that I like when the crowd gets like really weird about something. And then I stay chill about it. I feel like that's where I thrive. It's when I just feel bad, I guess, when it's someone who has like social anxiety or like stage fright. And I could actually say disclaimer at the top of my shows of like, you know, if your boyfriend brought you here and you're in the first rows and you're going to spend the whole show being like, oh, she doesn't talk to me. Oh, she doesn't talk to me. Like, a lot of times I do meet and greets afterwards and they're like, I didn't go to the bathroom the whole time because I just didn't want you to see me. I'm like, so the whole show you're holding your pee and like miserable, you can't focus. Like, so I say disclaimer of like, I'm not going to talk to you. Like, unless someone heckles me, I'm not going to make fun of you. You can get up to go to the bathroom. I'm not going to be like, look at this lady going to take a shit and like have the spotlight find
that's
you.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why people are terrified to go to comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. When we see people get up at our shows, we'd be like, are you going to take a poop?
Yeah.
Dude, this girl waited.
Oh, girls hate that.
Yeah.
You don't poop.
Yeah. No, this girl waited at one of the Columbus shows I was at like an hour 20 and she's like, I gotta go. So she gets up and she goes. I'm like, oh, you gotta.
Yeah.
Oh, she's farting already.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah,
oh,
dude.
That's
I was being a 12 year
old. Devastating.
She was like, what? No. I'm like, careful, it's gonna fall out.
You've probably caused kidney infections after that happened of people coming to your. Like, seriously, people are so scared. Because I just want to make people feel, this is the, I think, key to
warm
stand up.
In between their legs?
Yeah. I always go. If you have to go just in go. Your seat. This isn't about you. This is me.
Yeah.
But I just want to make people feel comfortable because I think that's, you know, if you're looking at it from like a broader sense of like what we do as comedians, most people, like Seinfeld has a joke about most people are like, their biggest fear is public speaking. They'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy. More than death. And so most people coming to see you are going like, oh my God, I could never fucking do that. You have to talk a whole hour and you don't look at your notes and you have to remember their mind is racing of how you can do that, how you can remember all of that. Are you going to remember all of that? If I was that, I couldn't. And they're just tense for you. You know, when you like watch them. So the best comedians are the ones that just look like, I've got this.
Yeah.
Don't worry. And it's so hard to fake that. So you usually can't. You just got to be comfortable. But I think
if you hold a gun to the audience, it's way easier.
Yeah, that.
That's a good bit, right?
My nephew got a gun. Not
a oh man, he's not from Colorado, is he? Okay, all right, all right.
They have a real problem out there. Yeah, it keeps going. It's always Colorado. I mean, it's crazy.
Man. First of all, I love this because I'm always the one just pushing it a little too much, and I laugh.
No, I'm really glad that you brought up school shootings because I'm like, I have an because I have an announcement. So coming up, Denver. No.
Oh my God.
No, I. Last time I shot my special there, and this time I'm gonna shoot
someone special.
Someone special. Oh shit.
Damn, that's like a combination of every single joke.
Oh my God.
And Nikki has a real affinity for special people.
You thought you were disabled before. I'm. This is over. over. It's over.
Yeah, we're done, dude.
Oh, man. It was
so
great
while it
lasted.
Yeah, so me and Nikki are on tour. You can come see us. We won't have careers. Cody will still be here.
We're opening for Kyle Rittenhouse. Yeah.
We're opening the door and he comes through. Yeah. No, all right.
But I'm like, I'm weirdly obsessed with like Columbine. I've read like 4 books about it this year.
Actually,
I'm like,
why are people obsessed with that?
Like, are they?
Yes, it's a thing on TikTok. Like, girls are like, think that the guys are like the sexiest.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's really fucking weird.
This is the male gaze on women. Yeah. Y'all like dudes that shoot stuff.
No, that is a thing. Like, they're all attracted to Dahmer and stuff.
Fandom. Yeah, people make like edits of them.
I've heard of that before. That's not my, I have no like, I'm not like, yeah, they're so hot. I'm just like, I guess it happened my freshman year of high school. And so it was just like, there were school shootings before that, but I don't know. That one remains the one that everyone knows about. It was just so,
yeah.
I'm just into things that are really morbid. I'm not as into like serial killers, women being into that is like completely acceptable. You know, like, oh my God, Dahmer's going to like win Emmys and stuff. Yeah. And everyone kind of accepts it. But I'm into school shooting, like the mind of shooters. I'm like very, and pedophiles. And people are like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I don't know. It's just like, it is the craziest thing to me beyond serial killing, I guess.
So
I'm fascinated by it. But my nephew did get a gun, not a real gun, but like a toy gun. My mom bought him one for, from like, she like shops at Goodwill, and she got this toy that was like a dinosaur and you shoot it. But he just took the gun and he was like shooting us like point blank.
Yeah.
And we had to do a buyback program. Sorry. Oh, I laughed at my own fucking thumb joke. I promise that wasn't a setup for that joke.
You made him turn it in? Damn.
But I wonder, like, did you guys...
You're not taking my gun!
Yeah, he quoted the Second Amendment. I was like, you're 4. Wait, did you guys have toy guns growing up? Like, you're a bit younger than me. When did it happen where everyone was like, no more? Like,
it was when...
Like BB guns and shit. Is that what you mean?
Like toy, you're dead. Like,
water
I
guns?
Feel like people don't... Water guns, yeah. I mean, no, but I grew up in the 90s.
Oh, like real guns.
No, guns were way more realistic.
Yeah.
I remember, I think I was like, I want to say like 10, and there was like that big national story of the kid pulling out the airsoft gun and the cop shooting him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, or maybe I was more like 12 or 14, but it was like early teens. And then that's when all the guns kind of switched over.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It was, but I was like, we were just freaking out. Like, he can't have this. And my dad's like, when I was a young boy, I had toy guns, but I didn't shoot them at people. And I'm like, of course you did.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at that like, that's so bad. Like, he's going to be a shooter someday. It's like, no, what are you supposed to, the wall? Kids
are going to
shoot. They're going to shoot their aunt,
no
Nikki,
fun.
In the fucking head. He would come up to me and be like, put it against my temple. And I'm just like, okay,
damn.
What's up?
Jesus. Yeah, so FBoy Island.
Yeah, F-Boy Island.
What season is it on now?
Well, you know, we're kind of in between, like, waiting for a pickup.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, thank you.
I loved the show.
Oh, my God. You guys would have both been good on that show. You would be good now. I'm sure you're in a relationship.
What does that mean?
Just like you're watchable, you're handsome. It's kind of like
we're both nice guys.
I don't know. You appear to be, you know, but then you don't know. So you'd be really good.
Yeah.
I feel like at it. Like, so yeah, it's the premise of the show. If you don't know, 3 girls are looking for love, and then there's 30 guys, and 15 are nice guys, and 15 are F boys, but they all look like F boys, and it's it's fun.
I remember when
it's the best thing I've ever done.
When I first saw the trailer. And it was like, okay, it just seemed like another dating show that didn't really understand itself. But it's like super self-aware.
Yes.
Like it makes fun of itself a lot. And
I got on the first season. I took it too seriously.
Same.
This show is fucking, this shit is cringe. And then I'm like, oh wait, it's a bit.
Yeah. In the first season, it was towing that line of like, we weren't going as hard on... wink wink, like we're in on the joke too. So I think second season is when we really were like, let's have a lot of fun with this and make fun of this as much as possible. And a lot of the show itself, like, it came with the name F-Boy Island when it landed in front of me. Like, I kind of told my agents I want to get into the reality space because it's like the only TV I watch, yet I'm auditioning for these like roles on scripted stuff. I don't even like scripted TV. And so I was like, I want to do reality. I don't know how. And then they sent me a bunch of shows that were like looking for hosts, and I saw F-Boy Island, and I was like, that's got to be funny. Like, that's it already has a sense of humor in the title. That can't be a serious show. I mean, it reminded me of 30 Rock, they had a fake show called MILF Island.
Yeah.
And it was like, that's what it reminded me of. And so I was like,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
By the way, that is actually being made, I'm pretty sure. It's
really?
Not called MILF Island, but my friend just like posted on his close story about how his close friend's story about how he's getting cast for a show about young guys dating older women.
Is Young Gravy the host?
It's not.
Is this Young Gravy the host?
I mean, he should be.
Yeah.
I know. It does sound like a great concept,
I would
right?
love yeah. to be on that show.
But
so,
sorry.
sign me up. No, I am very happily in a relationship. But when does this air?
Oh, you want to be on the show. I see.
No. So, the guy that created Elon Gale, he worked at The Bachelor and, you know, Bachelorette for like 20 years. And then he started producing these other reality shows. And he called me and was like, I think you'd be good for this. And I was like, please, God, yes. And it was the first time in my, you know, at this point, 18-year career that I'd ever wanted something so badly. And the network wanted me just as much, where it was like mutual. It always, I don't know, my relationships have always felt like that. Nothing's ever felt mutual in my goddamn life. Like, I've always been chasing something that doesn't want me. And it was the first time I was like, oh, they want me too? And a lot of people threw their name in to be the host of it because it's a great role. It's comedic and you get to live in paradise and just hang out. It's so fucking easy.
How many weeks are you there?
Dude, it's like 5 to 6 weeks.
God,
maybe like eight the first season because we had to quarantine for 2 weeks when we got there.
Oh.
And it was 2021. And America was still very much mask land. And it was like, you know, early 2021. And we go to the Cayman Islands and they have no COVID on their island. So we get in, there's people in hazmat suits greeting us. We go instantly into a bubble and we stay in our hotels for 2 weeks. And then when we got out, no masks. And so it was like,
damn.
Everyone's ready to fuck. Like the crew, the cat, like everyone.
Everyone's
it was
gonna do some shit.
Wild. It was so much fun.
Did anyone in the crew bone each other?
I don't know. No.
Oh.
I don't know. Yeah.
I thought that was like a...
Yes, of course they did. There was so much of that going on. You find out afterwards.
That's
everyone's
what I mean.
Like
yeah.
so secret about it, but
yeah,
then you
yeah.
find out later and you're like, oh my God, those
Sorry,
two?
I should have phrased that like, did two core people on set fuck and everyone kind of knew like... Yeah, so the director just fucked the first assistant camera and
right.
it's on set in front of everyone.
Yeah.
is what he's saying.
And now it's awkward.
Yeah.
So. I think that most of that stuff came out after the fact and everyone was kind of going like, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Which, you know, whenever I'm on a set, I'm always like, oh my God, this would be so fun to have a set manse or what do they call them? showmans. That makes more sense.
What is
set manse? Showmans.
A showmans.
Yeah.
It.
Where you're like, and that's why I would never date an actor. Cause if you're a hot guy and you get paired with some hot girl and you go to Paris for like 8 weeks to shoot something and you're doing scenes where you're like making out and falling in love. It's so impossible not to catch feelings. I mean, cheating is one thing and people should have enough integrity, but they're going to catch feelings regardless. You're too close. You're involved in this thing that, you know, you're in this bubble. No one else knows about it. You feel like it's almost like trauma bonding.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not surprised Angelina Jolie seduced Brad Pitt. Like those kinds of things happen. I'd be Jada Pinkett Smith. I heard on the set of, whatever Will Smith did with Margot Robbie, she would like be in the room during their sex scenes.
Oh wow!
Just to like hang out at set that day.
Wow!
I'd probably do that too. No, I actually wouldn't. I'm not like a jealous person. I'd be like, go try to get Margot Robbie. Tell me about it. Like, I'd really be like, I'm proud of you.
I saw her at John and Vinny's. I saw a guy try his damnedest to make an introduction. It was kind of funny.
Oh my God!
What did he do?
She was picking up food, and you know, God bless her, she rolled in there solo. She just had a car waiting out front, but she hopped out the car by herself.
Was she all like hood up?
No. It was
really?
Just her.
She's just and stunning.
She just walked a good like
Margo, bitch.
Yeah.
She walked a good like 30 feet on her own, which I thought was fucking bold.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she walks in the restaurant and just say hi for Margo, and they go get the food. And some guy's like, hey.
I'm already like so uncomfortable.
He's like, John, we both know. And he like says some random name. And she's like, I don't know a Patrick. He's like, no, yeah, you do. And he's really trying to make it happen.
Ugh. Oh, God. That's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, I love Wolf of Wall Street, by the way.
Yeah.
That's my favorite film.
Yeah.
I feel like that's okay. Like, I don't know. How do you guys feel about when you see celebrities? Like, someone who really matters to you or, like, do you do you get a picture? What do you do? And like, how do you deal with it with fans? Like, what's your best? What's the best approach?
Oh, if people hit us up for pictures, it's fine.
No,
I think
I say no every time.
Yeah. You do seem you are an F guy.
Yeah, he'd win the show. Yeah,
I said pay me.
Yeah,
that's what I said usually.
I'm fine with it. I get uncomfortable because sometimes some people are a bit rude to the people around them. Like these three guys like ran up to me to an airport, and I thought that was cool. Like fine, but then they wanted a picture, but none of them wanted to hold it. So he turns to a guy who's eating, and he's like, "Yo, can you take this pic?"
And the guy, that's the worst.
The guy, I was like, "Hey, man!" Like the guy jumped in for him. He's like, "I'm fucking eating, bro." And the guy's like, "Oh." And his friend's like, dude, just take a selfie. Just take a selfie.
Dude, when they jam the phone in my fiance's face and they go, hey, can you take this?
Yeah, that's always.
No, please, either.
Yeah.
No, please.
They look at me, they're like, can we get a photo? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, cool, here.
Yeah.
They just jam it in her. And I'm like, dude, can
it
you
happens
have some fucking respect?
So fucking often. I love that you guys are saying this too, because I felt like maybe I'm crazy for noticing this, but I do meet and greets and I have a guy that is there to take pictures and they'll be like, what is, like, you didn't even use the right lens. Yeah. Like, they'll yell at him about it. I'm like, he's not getting paid. I mean, he is getting paid, but like, he's not getting paid well, okay? It's so rude.
He is disabled, okay?
That's why it's at a low angle. I'm sorry he can't get your perfect angle.
And I shot his fucking eyes out, so just be glad that he's able to click the phone at all.
Oh, my God. Yeah, people are just like, here. And then they get mad about, like, and then they get mad at you and they're like, it's blurry. We need to do it again. It's like, you got one shot and just do selfies. I think I love taking pictures with people, but I know, like, I like taking pictures with celebrities. I want them some. I was on the set with the Backstreet Boys yesterday and I was like, oh my God, I want a picture so bad. But
did you do it?
I didn't because I didn't have my phone on me because we were shooting the scene. And when it wrapped, it was like, I would have had to get it and stuff. So I got other people's pictures of the scene. But what I think the best protocol, what I would do is have your camera ready before you ask. Have it already open to like a selfie, like it's shooting, right?
Yeah.
And then go, would you mind if we got a selfie? And then just boom, click. Yeah. It's fast. Instead of like you go, I love you so much, and you're pulling up the apps and you go, oh my God, this is my dog. Oh my gosh. Like, oh gosh, why is this not working? And you have to like go through their whole, you know,
I think it's just a test
operating
how, like,
system.
Social media has just like ruined everything.
Yeah.
Politeness.
Like there's no like etiquette anymore. Yeah. There's no, I'm not bagging on people that are fans of other.
No.
I probably do the same thing. It's just the parasocial relationships.
Yeah.
You're just used to feeling like you actually know these people. So you see them in public.
Yes.
And you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Here, let's get a pic. Dude, let's get a pic.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm in the middle of a meal.
There's something really nice about the fact that especially podcasting, people feel closer to you because you're in their ear. It's like you're like whispering to them. Like how often as humans before media did we ever have someone like in our ear intimately? It'd be like a lover.
Yeah.
And so people are conditioned to think that they have these really intimate relationships with you, which is so great because it makes for just making such great fans that know you and care about you and will be lifelong fans. But at the same time, they do have that familiarity that they can like mistreat you.
But you know where that kind of like, is kind
but it's rare. Though it's like one in 100.
Yeah. That's true. Not everyone does.
No.
I feel like we're being like spoiled right now.
No. Most people are so awesome.
Yeah.
We're so spoiled to have people like care about us enough to even want a fucking picture. Yeah.
And if you ask me for a picture, I will say no.
Yeah.
I will say yes. Just don't do the phone jamming thing. I hate that.
Cool.
I get mad when people are like, I saw you at the gym, but I didn't want to bother you. I'm like, this is why I do this. I want people to go.
It's an ego boost.
It's awesome. Yeah. Please bother me. I love it.
Now, you know what I love, dude, is recently I've had a lot of people come up. It'll be like, it'll just be like random dudes. And they'll be like, yo.
Yeah.
And they just walk away.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that was sick.
Yes.
I'm like, I like that because I'm like, oh, we're boys.
Yeah. That's how they do it in Australia. I'm friends with like two of the most like famous dudes in Australia. Hamish and Andy is their name. And they're and everyone in Australia just acts like their best friends. Like, hey, Andy. Just like, not like, oh my God. But they're just because there's this thing of in Australia, like, that no one should be a tall poppy. Like everyone should be kind of the same.
Yes.
And so anyone that thinks they're too cool, like, no, you're getting chopped down. So celebrities, they acknowledge like, thank you for your talent, but you're not better than any of us. And
that's
in America, like certainly we benefit from the fact that people think celebrities are better than other people. But like we do, you get Dior, like you know, like
he gets Dior.
Because Irish.
Irish. But it is an illusion, like, of I'm always like, when you know, just I don't know. I get annoyed sometimes. I benefit from it, but the fact that like talent gets treated better than like crew.
Yeah.
In certain circumstances where they're just like, you know, I'll be on a set and they're like, please, please sit down, take my chair. And I'm like, but that was your chair. And they're like, if they find out that I did not give you your chair, I'm like,
weird.
Why? Yeah. Because I am insecure enough to become a performer. Like, what makes me more special? But I guess it's like, they can be replaced and I can't, but I feel that's very so replaceable. I like to remind them there's many funny women out there and I'm aging. My days are numbered.
But a good gaffer, that's hard to find.
Yeah, I would think so. But it's I'm as much as I depend upon it, the upset and am part of it, of like the obsession of celebrity and like worshiping them. There's something fun about it for sure.
Yeah, but you have like you have
I
like
kinda hate it too.
No, you have like the like traditional celebrity, like you've been on big ass productions with big networks. Like I feel like you have that recognition where people are like, hey, you're the chick from the roast. And they're like snapping their fingers at you. What's your name? Like, I feel like you have that.
What's that? How is that different than?
I don't know.
I think it's the parasocial thing.
Yeah. I think it's more like, I think you have the people that know you from, like they know you and that middle 30%.
Yes.
And I feel like we just mainly have like the people that know us from whispering in their ears.
Right. Well, there's something to be said about that, of like, you haven't had to, and you certainly do, diversify, but I feel like I've just, and you were talking to, I've listened to your episode with Ron Funches. I was just with him yesterday on this Backstreet Boys thing. And so when I saw his episode, I was like, I gotta hear that. And you were talking about just like saying yes to everything, like different things, and how this has afforded us the opportunity to do other stuff. I love an IMDb that is just chaotic and like she's just done everything, because you don't know. There are some people that have never even heard of the Comedy Central roast.
Yeah,
and then there's some people that only watch network TV. There's some people that only, and I haven't done a good job of like doing TikTok. Like I'm bad at putting like my stand-up clips into a place where people can just like look at them in bite size and like review them. It's like really,
that seems,
it's my biggest,
like crazy right now.
And it's the biggest problem for me. It's the thing I'm best at without question out of all the things that I do is stand up, because I've been doing it the longest, not because I'm like, you know, it's just the thing that I have the most hours accumulated towards doing. And I'm so critical of it that I can even putting out a special is hard for me. I like stand up because I originally got into it because you just do it and then it's over.
Yeah.
And people can go, I remember that joke sucked, and you go, but did it?
Yeah.
Because
it's
just your memory. It's gone. But now you can go back and look. And for me, it's never good enough.
Yeah.
And so when I watch and I'm so critical of stand up already and people not being as good as I want them to be. And people like, I'm so critical that I think people are as critical of me. And so I don't put any clips out because I'm just worried that people will finally figure out I'm not as talented. It's like maybe I've tricked people into being like that imposter syndrome, which everyone fucking has.
Do you feel like that about your specials though?
Yes.
Really?
They're not like it takes me, my HBO special, which I'm proud of. It just like, you know, it's one night of your life. And my stand-up is not like scripted to a T. My special Perfect, the first one I put out, was pretty scripted to a T. It was more early on when I wasn't doing as much like not storytelling, but just riffing. And since then, my style is just, I get up there and I say the joke differently every single time. And usually I'll find a place where it works. But I like to just, like I was saying before, I like to be in the moment. I like it to be honest. So I hate when it's scripted. And so that one night in Denver when I shot the special, like, I don't know, I was just feeling a little bit too, like there was just things about both my performances that night. And I go, why did you say the joke like that? You never even said it like that. Why would you? And I'm like, and you missed that one line that you could have, like there's so many deep regrets. So that special in particular came out in July and I am very proud of it. In the end, I was like, oh, this is good. But I was so scared to look at it. And I had to edit it because I couldn't trust anyone else to do it, that it was supposed to come out in March and I had to come out in July because I could not look at it. I couldn't watch it. Yeah. I can't watch myself.
Editing yourself is tough. I also think the tough part with stand-up, like when you film specials too, is it's like such a fine line that when you get all that production in the room, it just changes the vibe.
Yes.
You know? And it's just...
It does.
It's hard, I think, to focus on... what
everyone's
you came there
so
to
nervous.
Do that too. Yeah. And then the audience, like they see all the gear and shit.
Yeah.
And
the audience can't relax. And that's what I was saying before. You need to make them relax in order to have a good show, for them to laugh. You can't laugh when you're like super nervous and anxious. And so I learned my next special, and I think, you know, if you're smart, you'll steal this as any comedians listening. Don't have an opener. Go out and open your own show and get relaxed and go, listen, this is a taping. I'm nervous. You're nervous. Who gives a fuck? We're all going to die. Like, have a moment with them where it's like, they're not rolling.
We're
this is so
good.
Tonight. Tonight. Yeah. Lock the door. You break out the gun. But like, I'm going to open my next special because I just wish I would have had that moment with them to be like, guys, this is like, just, I'm a little bit on it. Because I watch it now. And I'm like, oh, you're little bit nervous, and I never get nervous on stage, but when it's a taping and there's HBO execs there and like my friends and family are there, that shit, and I don't want them there next time.
Yeah,
that adds another layer to it. I just want to be comfortable, and the best specials I feel like are the guys or gals, I call them gals, that are just, you know, comfortable. And you can just sense nerves. Even if you don't, if you watch someone, you go, they're not nervous. There's a part of your subconscious that's like, I can tell they're nervous.
Sorry, I'm just laughing at someone taking that sentence out of context, being like, Nikki Glaser said only men's specials are the best. You know, when guys do specials, it's so good. Sorry, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah. I was going to say, I do, like, it seems to be a little bit of a trend right now where people will put their specials out on YouTube, but they'll, like, spend less on production. So
it's
like,
stripped down.
Yes.
And they'll shoot it at a smaller venue, so it seems more intimate, like, a little bit more natural. It's just kind of like, you're watching, as a viewer, it's like, oh, I'm just watching, like, as if I were there. It's not this big ass show.
It's the best in a 200 cap room. I feel like anything over 200.
I know.
All the best rooms are 200, you know.
Helium, that's interesting. Philly. Yeah. In terms of clubs, I don't know, theater's still pretty fucking good.
Yeah, theaters are fun. It's definitely I mean, that feeling when it like hits the ceiling.
It can be really fun. Yeah. I love Norm Macdonald's
playing
special,
stadiums
his last one.
Playing stadiums is really cool too.
Oh,
have
yeah,
you ever? I've never
heard of them.
He's like, yeah, when I
I think MSG personally was the best performance that we did.
Yeah, yeah. The Palai in Melbourne. You ever done that?
We haven't done stadiums, by the way.
No, I know.
Okay.
That's why she's laughing. She's like,
trust me, you.
I know. Yeah,
you guys will get there. I mean, you're closer than I am. Norm Macdonald's special where he's just in front of his computer, his last one, you know, before he died. Yeah. There's no audience. And I'm like, thank God, let's skip the laughter. I don't need to be coached to laugh. Sometimes I'm just like, I watch specials on 2x the speed because I'm like, just, I want to hear jokes. Yeah. I can laugh on my own time and I don't need, you know, but that laughter actually, laughter does, it's contagious. And so it does like teach you what's funny and what's not. Yeah. But I really liked just like bare bones. Just like, I sometimes just want to read jokes. I just put the captions on. I'm like, I just want to like see, I don't need to hear someone. I don't need the audience to be like, but I have no patience.
Dude, I'm going to put out a special. It's just going to be like a live journal post.
Yeah. Please. Yeah, so, I would watch the fuck out of it.
Yeah, this is no, there's no crowd. Like, you just read it. You're like,
would you guys watch TikTok or Reels, like stand up? Do you unmute it?
No, I do that actually. I do watch people's.
Yeah.
I watch side captions. Yeah. Same. Like in bed?
Yeah.
If she's not awake yet, I'll just like turn the volume all the way down and then I'll watch it that way.
I think I watch everything with the captions and I don't really need sound anymore. I just.
You know what? I'm going to do a bunch of anti comedy stand up clips where I just say one word and the remaining 59 seconds is just people laughing.
And
it's just me gloating. Yeah. So
I'm not kidding you. People would that's actually happening where people say no joke.
Yeah.
And I wait for it. I wait for the joke and I'm like, how does this have
MSG,
30,000 shares?
12.5, 12.6.
You're fucking Harry Stylesing.
you should film your special and then put it out, but the volume mixing is really bad.
Yeah.
So you just can't hear your joke. Like, you're telling jokes, but the audience laughter is way too loud the whole time.
Okay, yeah.
Like throughout,
just
like just
so
constant
obvious
laughter through the whole thing.
And then all the ads are like, back-to-back laughs. Non-stop laughter.
Yeah, because they do say that, and it would be like, that would be horrible if there was non-stop laughter. That's a terrible show. You
the
can't
crowd
get
can't get enough. Air. Sorry. Oh, I'll kill myself now.
Are you on the road a lot?
Yeah. I've been this year.
You have been?
Yeah.
Is it, and how old are you?
14. I'm everyone should commit suicide because I'm literally
you're married.
Yes.
Oh, wow. How is that for your relationship?
It's fine. She's
that's good.
Yeah, she's totally down.
She's cool about it.
Yeah, she's it's funny, like really early on, like when we started touring.
Japanese. You're Japanese.
No. Let's try. Let's try.
I don't know. You just picked up your cap and I was like, I see.
Yeah? Because of the way I...
Yeah. Oh,
that's a little racist.
You just looked like someone who I think might be Japanese. I don't know.
She's okay. Like, you've seen Indiana Jones, right? You know, Round Eye? No. No, yeah, she's cool with it.
That's nice. It's hard. It's nice, though, because you go away a lot and then you miss them.
Well, early on when we started touring, like, we figured out pretty quickly touring is not glamorous and, like... They came out like both of our partners. They came out to like some buttfuck city,
right?
And it was like, all right, yeah, this is, you know,
yeah. They're not like, oh, he's not living the high life out here.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
sometimes it can be nice, but
yeah, my wife, she was working like in marketing at the time, so like when she would come out, she was like, I'm not going to St. Louis for the weekend, bro.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I live there, so that was rude, but
I'll be there next year.
She's not wrong. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
I was there earlier this year.
I'm there New Year's Eve. I'm doing a big theater there, the Stiefel. So if any of your listeners, I'm on tour right now, started again, and going to Memphis tomorrow, and like sales are like real fucking low.
I saw the bit you did.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
What was
like,
the bit?
You just gotta like, I
she's
hate
singing when, to him. She's like,
yeah, I wrote a song about like, you know, I took that song that's like walking in Memphis.
Oh,
I
yeah,
was just
yeah.
like did
I
a
love
song
that
about
song.
How it's so good.
I love that song.
It's
what's the artist?
So fucking
who's the artist again?
Forget his name.
Post Malone.
No. Yeah.
But I redid it and I was just talking about people coming to my show. But, you know,
Donovan?
Because my agents are like, please put out like some video getting people to please come. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Cohn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any other hits, I wonder? Running in Vegas.
And it's a little
rolling
bit
in Seattle.
Song's a little bit faster.
It yeah. just does all different. But yeah, it. I did this video, but it was just like, I just hate doing any kind of video of like, come see my show, everyone. Like, it's just so tired. And I kind of just want to be honest of like, tickets aren't selling well there. It doesn't hurt my feelings because I'm selling well everywhere else. So like one city, it's not like this is desperate, but it's like this city. I like Memphis and I would like to go back. But if you don't sell well the first time you come through, it's like
yeah.
probably won't go back.
Well,
so
I was telling him that I feel like the thing after COVID is everyone's so last minute.
Yeah,
and
they are.
And with stand up, I feel like you have to be telling people to the
constantly.
Day of. You're like, I'm in. It's so funny. And then you get people afterward. They're like, oh, fucking. I didn't know you were here.
I know.
How did you not know?
I know. I do this thing now with shows. So if anyone is interested, you could check out my dates, NikkiGlaser.com. But I got to get that plug in.
Andrew, make sure you buy a ticket. Because you're listening. Schultz is definitely listening.
Oh, yeah, Schultz. Yeah. Schultz, he can come for free, but he wouldn't be interested. And he's busy, right? So I'm doing all these freaking dates and... I feel like a lot of people miss out on shows, not because they don't hear about it, but because they can't find anyone to go with them.
There's that too.
Right? Like, it's just one person wants to go and they're like, oh, none of my friends can afford it, or they can't get babysitter, whatever the fuck it is, you know?
Yeah.
And
you're doing Tel Aviv?
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm going to Europe. Is that Europe? Is that where you're from? No, I know it's Europe because you said it like that so incredulously. So
hell
now
yeah.
I know it is. But
Middle East.
Well, it's
it?
Yeah, but
Tel Aviv,
yeah,
Israel?
That's not.
Yeah.
So is you can't say that's Europe?
I don't know. Can you?
Okay, like we don't know. This is so
dumb.
Embarrassing. Well, I think
I'm just let the
I
white
think you were
drown.
Sure about it, and now I made you question it. But I'm so bad with geography. So, yeah, the Middle East is in the Middle East. Okay, so Middle East is not Europe. Will you just write as Middle East Europe?
It's Asia.
Oh yeah. And so is Russia.
I'm just going to let this ride.
Oh, come on. But I do this thing with my shows anyway where it's like if you want to go alone to my show and you buy a ticket alone, which a lot of people have like, oh, I'm going to look like a loser or whatever.
No,
I go,
no, go live your life.
I'll give you a free meet and greet, which I generally, you know, it's part of a VIP package or I charge for it because not to be a dick, but because you just can't meet everyone. So you got to put some kind of like, and if you can't afford a meet and greet, I'm always just like, I'll just give you one. But I will definitely give you a free one if you go alone to a show, and then I'll, you know, say hi to you after the show and stuff, because it's, I want more people to go to comedy shows, but I think so many people miss out because a lot of people who listen to podcasts and who like comedy don't have that many friends. And that's not a dig. Like, it's hard to make friends. It's hard to maintain friends, especially when you get in your 30s and everyone gets partners
after
and kids.
After 25 or 26, making new friends is just, it can be so brutal.
So hard. And finding the right person to go to a comedy show with that might be very raunchy. Like, you don't want to bring a first date necessarily. Yeah. You want to bring your mom. You don't want to bring your sister. So people struggle. And it's like, I just encourage people, go alone, because it's, don't miss, you will meet people there. And also, I've never been to something and seen someone alone and been like, what a loser.
Nah.
Like, there's no part of me that would even, I wouldn't even clock it, I don't think. Nah. So I would encourage
also,
people to go alone.
Also, a theater is the best place to go solo, I feel, to something. Because it's just like, it's in the dark. No one's any wiser that you're solo.
You I'm going to Taylor Swift with my fans. Like, I didn't get Swift tickets, and so I was just put it out on my Instagram, like, it sucks I didn't get any tickets, you know. And people just started, and I wasn't even trying fishing, and people were like, you can go with me and my friends. And I'm like, just random fans. They're like, we have four tickets and if you want to go with us. And so I'm like, I will go with fans.
That's sick.
It's so awesome.
That's gonna be a crazy night for them.
And I'll pay for the ticket. I'll fly to you and pay for the ticket. But I will do anything. I mean, it's very important to me to go to as many of these shows as I can. And it would be fun. And I feel being a Swiftie, I identify more as a Swiftie than I do as a comedian or a woman or anything. I really do. And so it's just a commonality that you have with someone.
Me too.
Are you a Swiftie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you truly a Swiftie, though? Like, big time? 100%. Really? So don't you feel like when you meet another Swiftie?
I fucking hate people from Oklahoma and St. Louis. You guys just,
I feel a kinship with them. Like, I'm sure your podcast listeners, if they run into each other, and they both find out that they listen to the show. Oh my God, we're instant friends. And that's how I feel about other Taylor Swift fans. It's like, you have this commonality that is probably a deeper bond than I share with most of my best friends. You know, like, you have this thing that you love so much. I mean, do you guys have anything that you're obsessed with?
Can I just ask
yeah,
real
please.
Quick? Because my fiance is a huge Swiftie as well. Yes! And she now is like, we got tickets to one of the shows, and now she's trying to get tickets for another show because she's like, I need to go to multiple of these things to see the different openers. Are you going to do the same thing? You said I'm going
not
to
not for
as
the
many...
openers. Just I just want to see her as much as possible. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go to as many as I'm going to spend all of. I just bought tickets yesterday. You know, $6,000 for three tickets. I know. I just heard a gasp from the next room. I mean, and I'm not bragging. Like, this is. I don't spend like this on anything. I live in a modest apartment in St. Louis. I buy secondhand clothing. I'm not a big spender. I drive my mom's old beat up Lexus. I bought her a new car, but I'm not someone who spends a lot. But this is like, I can spend this insane amount of money that would be like a trip to Europe or the Middle East. We don't know really. Or I could go to this one night that is would be the best time of my life. In fact, like,
I think if you're Jewish, you can go to Israel for free one time, right?
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish there was a birthright for Taylor Swift shows. That would be awesome. Oh, shit. We got to start that. Like, if you're like a blonde white girl who grew up on a Christmas tree farm, you get to go to free.
Are you a Swiftie? Yeah, my uncle was. My aunt was. That's right.
You're only a Swiftie if your mother was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you don't count. You do not count.
No, I go to Taylor Swift listening parties. Not listening parties, but like Taylor
you're
Swift.
Out of here. Serious?
Dude, it's the best time I've ever had in my life. Have you ever been to one?
No.
Okay, so I would really recommend it.
Yeah, this shit is religion.
You
man.
Go.
This is crazy.
You go. I went to one in St. Louis, and they had at this point like
really
three
is.
That year. So this is like an ongoing thing. Thousands
listen to the
tickets
music,
sold.
We thousand. Sacrifice a fan, and then we all just like kind of hang out and like just in our love for her.
We
wait. What was the second one? We just hang out.
We smeared him with our period blood.
Oh, jeez.
We burn an effigy of Jake Gyllenhaal and go on a night.
Sorry, what were you?
But it's so simple. So all you do is you go, and there's like five people on stage that like run the event, and they go around the country. They make so much fucking money off of just pressing play and having like, you know, they have a big screen with like her music videos playing, but there's not. any like real talent that goes into just being like, girls, are you guys ready? I mean, and you, but like, but it's mostly a bunch of women and like, and some gay guys and like, and guys with good taste in music that might be, yeah. And,
yeah,
but I think, and I took my boyfriend went because at the time I had vocal cord surgery, so I couldn't speak. And so I needed like a translator with me at all times. And so he went with me and he was like, I've never seen a room of people having with so much joy for extended joy, damn, like just a 2 hour long joygasm. He was like, I've never seen anything like it. It was infectious. He was like kind of like scared of it at first, but he was like, this is just magical. And people, you get to go on stage and like sing. I brought in like a microphone just to like hold to pretend like I was like, it was, I was just a fan that it was so much fun. And so my goal for 2023 is to start a Taylor Swift cover band and like start adding dates to my shows. Like I go into town before or after and I do a cover band of Taylor Swift and I just donate the proceeds because I just want to do it for fun. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to make money, but there's such a built-in, I probably sell out bigger venues doing a cover band for Taylor Swift than I would my great own idea. Comedy shows. And it's the best.
What's your favorite album?
Oh, that's a great question. It's actually, my favorite album is Reputation. And I know it's shocking. Yes, not a lot of Swifties.
Oh,
that
my
one.
God!
That was the one that got me. I was going through like a tough time with a guy, and then you know, Delicate is my favorite song of all time, and then you know, Ready for It, just opening that. There was just like, yeah, I loved it. But then
I think that's the tour that I went to. Really? How long ago was that?
That was 2018, I think. Yeah. 17, 18. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
the one I went to.
Oh, and was it great? It's the one on Netflix.
Yeah, I was like, I understand why this is such a. Like, why is this so, like, electric for people? Because she really, like, puts so much effort into
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. She just, like, I don't know. It just makes you... I just wish she would have been around when I was in high school. It just, like, she helps me feel my feelings, which are all, like, fucking pent up as hell, you know? Like, you guys get it. Yeah. You're boys. Yeah. You know, like, totally. Yeah. Feelings, they're hard to access. And especially as a comedian.
Well,
like,
I
you
mean,
just look at everything.
Drywall,
like...
it's so easy to get it out. this is how I express myself.
Yeah. It's, but comedy is like, it's just so, music is so sincere and comedy is so insincere. And yeah, I mean, because I don't mean to get all Nanette on you, but like, it's like, there's this thing of like, everything, I can say something real, but I got to cut it with a joke. So I can get really vulnerable, but I got to go,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm going to, don't worry, it's not too real. No. And music, I mean, there's like when you're singing, it's like you're like crying. Some men that are like singing, I'm like, that's so feminine almost. They're like, oh, like Neil Young's voice. Do you ever hear Neil Young, like the
hey,
quintessential
you're a little
rocker?
Bitch singing up there,
yes,
Neil.
Yes. Because think about Neil Young, like he's this like amazing rock star that's just heralded as one of the best of his generation or any generation. And he sings like this. He sings like a little. He sings like you think Susan Boyle would sound like. Like he sings like a woman. But we like are like, he's such a fucking rocker. So there's something for me that I feel like with comedy, I'm just kind of like, it leaves something to be desired for.
Vulnerability.
Just, yeah. Yeah.
I agree with that. Mm. I mean, hey, man. I'll trauma dump up there. It doesn't go well.
Yeah. You got to make it funny.
Yeah.
And then if you make it funny, it kind of takes away from the truth of it.
Yeah.
Do you ever say something too real and people are just like, yeah. No, man, we don't relate to that. You should get some help.
You should start marketing some shows as stand-up trauma shows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like it's not comedy.
I mean, I've cut like a decent chunk of shit out because some of it is just too, like when I talk about like kids getting beat, like Christian youth in the Midwest, like they just, some of them get it. Others are like.
Well, what's your angle? You're talking about like.
Childhood.
Just like getting beat as a kid?
No, not me, but like.
He's talking about beating up children.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
When I pivot to that, they love
that. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I bring a kid up there and I beat the fuck out of
the demonstration
it.
Is what
yeah.
really.
Yeah. No, and I'll just like talk about like my childhood and like how my cousins and stuff would get beaten. So, yeah. And I used to like act some of it out and people would be like, ugh.
You know what? I love that because I feel like That's what I want to go towards, is things that people go, you can't talk about that. And it's like, well, that's because getting beat as a kid is so fucking awful. And there are kids getting beat. Yeah. And we do need to talk about it. And yeah, we're not making fun of the victims of it. We're talking about it's a thing that's
happening.
Unless
they make a weird noise, then it's funny.
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
No, I just think that I like that, making people uncomfortable with that stuff. Not to just make people uncomfortable, but to...
It's actually being vulnerable. It's not like not like, hey.
Yeah, I do a whole chunk on pedophilia that it took me. So, I didn't give up on it because I was like, this is important. People need to know the facts. Like, because I'm so obsessed with researching pedophiles and like just like how the fuck do these motherfuckers work?
Yeah.
And I wasn't molested, so I can kind of talk about it in a way that I don't think someone that was molested could talk about. They would be too triggered. It would be too hard for them to be up there. You could sense their trauma, but I can talk about it from this perspective of like, this is what's happening. This is how you can protect your kids. And here's a bunch of jokes on top of it. That's not making fun of the kids being abused, but it's putting it out there. And I have people come up to me after at the meet and greet. We'll be like hugging them. And she's like, I was molested as a baby. I really appreciated that. Thank you for talking about and I'm guessing that's not everyone that feels that way, but I just want people to be able to be like, I was molested, and it be as normal as like, oh, I got spanked as a kid. Like I want it to, because it's in the same realm of it wasn't your fault. It's a thing that happens so commonly. And it's also something that, I don't know, it's like the biggest get out of jail free card in terms of like any dysfunction you have. Yeah. You just go, I was molested, and people are like, okay, I guess you can be late for work. Like, you know, like you can, if you were molested and you survived that, and even if you didn't, if you still struggle with it, like you should be able to board planes before veterans. Like that's some like survival shit. Like if you went through that and you got through it to adulthood and you are somewhat of a capable human being, purple heart to you, because that is some fucked up shit. And I think that if more people were able to talk about it and just be like, yeah, I was fucking molested. And it's obviously devastating, but a little bit more just like, it's something that happened. Like, oh, I was in a car crash. You know, it's the same kind of, but it's hard, because, and it's especially, I can obviously talk about it like that because I wasn't, and it's so triggering for people. But I think part of the way to make things less triggering is to just make them more conversational.
Yeah.
Like herpes. I'm always like, I kind of want to get herpes. I don't have it. It's just, you know, razor burn that keeps coming back every couple of months and all my boyfriends get it. But
like, isn't it like, not, yeah, so you do have it then?
No, it just, you know, only flares up.
It's like 90% of people have it, I'm pretty sure.
Like,
it's like there's still this weird.
I thought I've had it enough that I should have it. Like, I don't think I have it, but if I did, I would fucking tell you, because I want to normalize it, because I want people to not be so freaked out about it and think that it's like the worst thing that could ever happen to them. So I'm kind of like, if I got it, I would tell people. If I get a facelift, I'll tell people. Like, I want to tell people the shit that everyone tries to hide. It's like, I don't know, I'm just tired of celebrities lying about work they've had done. And I want to be completely transparent. And I know that not everyone likes to live that way, but I just feel like it would benefit people from having so much shame.
All right, fine. I'm on steroids. Fine.
Fine.
People keep asking.
Fine. I did get. Fine.
You have to work out when you're on steroids.
I did get my penis reduced. I did.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, fine.
I got a penis reduction.
I made it small on purpose.
Reduction. Everyone's asking.
I made it small on purpose. To make it fair.
Yeah. I said I was born small. I kept lying about it.
I was born gigantic.
You guys are both the same height, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself a short guy?
Yes.
Really?
I never used to. Growing up, I was never a thought. Like, I don't know, this whole, like,
bro, I got
making
bullied
fun of short.
For
really?
People.
Really? Maybe it's a Canadian thing. Everyone's like too nice in Canada to. And also, like, hockey players are short. Like, everyone, all the cool guys that I knew were short. Yeah. Or my height, at least. So it was always like,
wow.
If you were taller than me, you were tall, but I didn't see myself as like a short person.
Yeah.
I
don't see it either. I my boyfriend's your height, and he's shorter than me. I think you guys are probably shorter. I'm 5'9", but like he's 5'8½" or 8¾" or something. And
it felt derogatory when you said your height.
I know it did, but I didn't say your race.
Because you don't know what it is.
Yeah. He's like, I can't know. But he, much like you, like felt marginalized by it and felt like it. Man, He would sometimes say, like, my life would be so fucking different if I was, you know, 5 inches taller. And I'm always
like, we say that all the time.
Who would you be dating? Like, that's what I'm always like, who could, and I
men?
Know he could,
he could take men on.
That's true.
That's why we want to be taller.
Right?
So we could finally come out the closet.
I don't know. I feel like he would be dating like a supermodel if he were just taller. But I lucked out that he is not. Because he's super handsome, but he's short. So it's like, I got a hot guy on discount. It is. He would totally be with someone hotter than me.
Damn, that's funny.
Hey, man, shouts out to you, man. Shouts out to you.
Yeah.
Man.
He's
I guess you do get everything secondhand. All right. All right. Well.
Yeah, I got him at Marshall. He's defective.
Oh, I think we're at the end.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is fun.
Yeah,
you
thank
guys
you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for wow. being a part of our diversity guest program.
Yes. I'm glad to be the first woman on the show.
Before we have another woman.
Yeah. Everybody, Nikki's on tour.
Yeah.
NikkiLaser.com.
I have a podcast, the Nikki Glaser podcast. Yes. Check that out.
You can see her on F Boy Island.
If that gets picked up again.
Season 3, I pray.
Yeah, I pray too.
Go pump
but
up
season
1
and 2 are so fucking good.
They're good.
Yeah, if you haven't seen them yet, it's not like they weren't topical. You're not going to like miss any references by going back. They're just good fucking TV. And I don't say that about everything I've ever done. That one, that show though
it's genuinely good.
It's bingeable, it's funny, and it's captivating. Yeah.
Go check it out. And if you're in Tel Aviv, Nikki
tell
will
us
be
what
there.
You are. Yeah, you're up in the Middle East.
All right, everybody.
Sorry.
Thanks for tuning in. Goodbye.
This week on The Bone Zone.
You know what? You come do this.
I'm like, we annoy this guy?
I love it.
In what universe?
Yeah.
Those two douchebags still living in their mother's basement? Yeah, no, he instantly looked at us both and he was like, you guys are twinks.
Watch the full episode by signing up for a membership at tmgstudios.tv.